Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon, just a couple of hours less than before kickoff right here at Bankwest Stadium, where the Eels will take on the Warriors. Should be a terrific game of footy. Currently, we're looking at the Canterbury Cup, and the Magpies 12 lead the Warriors 10, just 12 minutes away from halftime in that game. Right now, though, we have Wendell Saylor's with us from Brisbane, but Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, I'm Tony Squires. Here we sit at beautiful Bankwest Stadium, prepared for a little bit of this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
Yes, indeed. Some issues of the week. We'll just throw them onto the stock market, see who's buying, selling or holding. Let's begin. Josh Reynolds has, through injury, has had a tough time, hasn't he, for the past couple of years, really. So we're saying right here, right now, Josh Reynolds is the perfect replacement for James Maloney at Penrith. We know that Jimmy Maloney is heading after this season to Catalan in the south of France. He's going to have a lovely time there. But does that open the spot? Is Josh Reynolds a man to walk through that now open door? Ryan Girdler.
Yeah, for the right price, I think I'll buy some of that, Tony. I think the fact that Josh could come there, they've got Luai, who obviously is coming through and will probably challenge for that position next year to partner Cleary in the halves. They've got young Mitch Kenny at dummy half as well, who's a young guy. So I just think you get a Josh Reynolds in there, he's certainly not going to have that same sort of luck that he's had for the last couple of seasons. He's an infectious guy. He's got lots of experience. I think, you know, they're going to lose a lot of that through James Maloney moving on. So I just think he'd fill a lot of holes. And as I said, if they can get him for the right price, we know Ivan Cleary's had interest in him, getting him there to the Tigers previously. Yep. I think it's a little buy.
Okay. Em?
Oh, buy. I think, as Gers said, he would be good for the Panthers, but I don't think they will go for him because I think they're pretty keen on Jerome Luai, and I know you need depth, but I think they'll give him a shot, and he and Nathan came through the 20s together, and but I think he would be a good fit, but I don't think the Panthers will go after him.
Okay. Wendell?
Yeah, I'm holding. Look, I think they've got some talented players out there at Penrith, and mate, Josh Reynolds, you know, you buy him and you know what you're getting, but I think there's enough players out there, and I think did Ivan Cleary get him to West Tigers first?
Yes, was he it? Did.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know there's a bit of a relationship there, but look, for me, I just think there's enough talent out there, and I'm just going to hold on that one. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. Now, look, I want you to listen to...
That's no problem.
Thanks,
so
Emma.
So quiet, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit of audio. Tonight, Storm and Seagulls, which will be a great game of footy at Amy Park, and these two teams have a fair bit of history, some bad blood between them, and once again, it has bubbled to the surface during the week. Just have a listen to Craig Bellamy.
You know, he's got a good relationship with referees. That's, you know, probably the thing, you know, and I know they'll happy with what, you know, what we're doing. That's all that matters. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's as I said, I think there's probably a little bit of, I don't know, personal, professional jealousy. I'm not quite sure why he would come out and say that. But as I said, perhaps someone was singing from backstage.
There you go. Now, just to put that into context, that comes after Max Krillich, the former Manly hooker, talked about Cam Smith and that he played outside the spirit of the game in the way in which he manipulates referees. Now, Craig Bellamy has decided that's not just Maxi Krillich singing that song, but the puppet master is Des Hasler, who has asked Maxi to bring that out in the public just to get the referees to have a little look, maybe offer a penalty or two. Are you buying or selling the idea that it is Des Hasler standing backstage singing the song? Wendell Salem?
Yeah, I'm buying that. Look, I know Maxi Krillich. I certainly am. Like, Desi's not silly. And obviously, Maxi doesn't mind. Look, this. Some certain frustration with the way that Cameron plays for some people, and especially that generation who probably, you know, the wrestling wasn't in when they were in. So, you know, they're probably sitting there watching the Manly and Melbourne Storm over the years and thinking, and Cam Smith, you know, he makes the big plays and stuff, but, you know, Cam Smith's the best at what he does. I like what Craig Bellamy said. He's back in his captain, but I certainly think that Des at his best just behind the scenes there, the puppet master.
Puppet master.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Des knows what he's doing. And even at his press conference during the week, we asked about those comments And even if he wasn't behind it, he definitely would have heard about it, or he definitely would have been briefed by the media manager. And he said, oh, what comments were those? And just acted dumb with this little cheeky smile on his face. So he knows exactly what he's doing. And then he knows how to play the media as well. So 100% Desi was.
Good.
Yeah, I'll have a little nibble at that. I think that Desi's got his fingerprints all over that. And I think it's fantastic for the game too. I mean, it is a sport. It's all about theatre. There's a lot of interest around this game this afternoon. And now there's just that little bit more spice to it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is good. Well done, Desi. Whether it's him or not, well done you. All right, our final. Here we go. Kevin Walters. Now, it seems to have shifted more closely that it's a contest in two. And Kevin Walters looks like the likely man to take over that Titans job. And we can talk a bit later about what that means for Queensland, if that were to be the case. But we'll just put it straight up and down, straight out there. Kevin Walters is the best man for the Gold Coast Titans job. Emma Lawrence, you buying?
Oh, yes. I'm going to buy. I just think after years of turning over coaches and at times bringing in rookie coaches, I think a figurehead like that, someone that's got a massive profile in the game and players would want to play for, I think, yes, Kevy would be good for them.
Fine. Okay. Good.
Well, I don't think he's the best man for the job, Tony, but depends on who the candidates are. Because I think Craig Bellamy probably be the best man for the job.
Yeah, but he's not going to leave.
Yes.
So therefore, out of the options.
Well, that's not specified. So, Tony, you've got to be more specific with the question.
Are you still angry about who do I play for that game?
Yes.
Is that what's happening here?
Well, it's just an open-ended question. Is Kevin Walters the best man for the Titans job? And I'm like, well, no, he's not.
Okay, what do you want me to write a novel? Is Kevin Walters the best man for the Titans job who is among the people who are tipped to get the Titans job?
I'm going
to
hold.
I know what you're holding. All right, Wendell, what about you?
You know what? I don't know if he is. I'm holding on that. I don't want him to get the job anyway. I don't want him to go for the job. If I was Kevy, I wouldn't do it. He just doesn't need to. I said this time and time again.
Yes,
every
I know.
Week I say this. I just don't want him to go for the job because, you know, it'd be great for the Titans to have him and Mel there working together. You know, two Queensland absolute legends. But he's got a job to do for Queensland, and I just don't want him to do it. I just really don't want him to do it.
You see pain in the future. Is that what?
Yes, I do. I see a lot of pain. I know Gordon Tallis is out there spruiking. Oh, mate, you know, Kev. You know, I think he's done a column to the Courier Mail. I'll read it later when I get a bit of time. But I just don't want him to do it because if he has a real crap season, which I think is a big chance with the roster that he's got there at the moment, you know, there's not going to be too many more people that want to go there next season. Or if he signs on this year, you know.
Yeah, but if he's coming off a pretty low base, if the Titans, you know, are at the bottom or certainly among the bottom three teams
come
12th. By the end of the season, yeah, well, even lifting at all, surely he's going to have the time and, you know, if he attracts the right people.
They only gave Garth Brennan 18 months.
Yeah.
Really.
And then if Kevy fails here, if Kevy takes this job and fails like in, you know, 12, 18 months, he won't get another NRL gig, simple as that.
All right, it'll be interesting press conferences all year if Kevy can't talk about the opposition, won't
he? Surely he won't bring the
no, he won't.
Could he do that for 25
he can't
rounds?
Do it. Where is the coach whisperer? I have not heard of or seen the coach whisperer.
That's because he's whispering. It's very hard to hear.
You know, did everyone know he blocked Brent Reed on Twitter?
Yeah, I can understand that, but
who hasn't?
Yeah.
We will speak to Reed later on and get a bit of his mail, but Graeme Annesley joins us next. Saturday, Triple M NRL. Wentworthville Magpies just got in for a try. A conversion about to be attempted. 16, they lead the Warriors 10, just 20 seconds out from halftime in the Canterbury Cup right here at beautiful Bankwest Stadium. Great to have joining us right now the head of football for the NRL, Graeme Annesley. G'day, Graeme.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Some terrific games of footy over the past few nights. Some nice close games, obviously, for your Dragon supporter. Not so great last night. have you enjoyed the start to this round, though?
Well, I think the football's been excellent. You know, I don't think anyone could say that they're not getting their money's worth. So, you know, but the competition's very tight and we're at that end of the season where every game's critically important. So, you know, I guess we've got to expect tight games.
Indeed, and obviously with each of those games, and especially when they're tight and there's a lot on the line, every decision is then put under the microscope, 1,000 television shows, 1,000 radio shows, 1,000,000 newspapers, it's all there. Let's start with the Kalyn Ponga. Now, he was sin bin for that, what was, you know, the try-saving attempt, the same as Matt Dufty with the Dragons the week before, who wasn't sin bin, but there is no charge for him. Can you just talk us through the on-field decision of the sin bin, then the decision for him not not to have to face the judiciary?
Yeah, well, to the extent that I can. Obviously, I haven't spoken to any of the officials, and you know, I wasn't at the game, so I was watching it in my living room, like many of your listeners. But from phone calls that I've made this morning, and from my understanding of what took place, the match officials have to deal with these things in a relatively short period of time on the field. They were confronted with advice from the bunker that the shoulder had made contact with the head. We had obviously what. On the base of it was a relatively serious injury, and they have to determine what action to take on that. As I said, they only have a relatively short time to make that decision, so in some ways you can understand that decision, but the reason that we have a two-step process where officials make decisions on the field and then they're reviewed off the field after the game by the match review committee that have an unlimited amount of time and all of the available camera angles to go through it in great detail, they decided that there wasn't sufficient evidence to proceed with a charge. And I'm fine with that. That's our process, and that's why we have a built-in protection for players.
So, Graeme, that's where the difference is between, obviously, the incident last night and the Dufty incident the week before, where with Dufty it was a blatant shoulder charge, but there was no contact with the head. So that's where those two incidences differ. But another incident that we had last week was the Kikau one. Now, he got 2 weeks suspension for a shoulder to the head. So where's the difference between the Ponga and the Kikau incident?
Well, I mean, if you look at the footage of both, they're two very different incidents.
Yes.
And, you know, in the case last night, we had three players all converging at the same time in a desperate attempt to prevent a try from being scored, or in the case of the attacking player trying to score a try. And in the course of that, the match review committee obviously felt that contact was unavoidable, even though there was shoulder to head contact. They feel that it was unavoidable, and we, you know, there are such things as accidents in our game. In the case last week, and you know, I can't speak for the deliberations that the judiciary panel took place behind closed doors. I don't know what they discussed, but it was a very different type of tackle. It wasn't in the in-goal area, and you know, that's a matter that they're charged with responsibility for determining. And you've got at the judiciary, you've got three very experienced players who hear all the evidence and then take it all into consideration.
Graeme, does the actual, we talk about injury, is that, does it officially come into it? Well, the result, the impact of what's happened when you're deciding, the match review committee's deciding?
Absolutely, it comes into it. I mean, it's written into the judiciary code that when they're determining grading for offence, firstly, they have to determine whether an offence has occurred or not, and they can deem any offence to be accidental or, you know, unavoidable, and in which case they won't proceed with a charge. But where they feel there's been careless or reckless or intentional act that's taken place, then they have to look at grading, and it says very clearly in the code that one of the aspects, there are many aspects that they take into consideration to reach grading, but one of those is the extent of any injury caused as a result.
Graeme, just to clarify, the rule is different if you're in a try-scoring action, the shoulder charge rule, compared to if you're just in the middle of the field. Is that correct? And why is there the difference? Because some may argue, well, a shoulder charge is a shoulder charge and it puts a player in a dangerous situation, whether they're in the act of scoring a try or not.
Yeah, no, the rule's not different. The circumstances are obviously different. I mean, one of the things I talked about at our Monday review last week, and I showed a number of incidents where there had been side-on contact with the shoulder, as we saw in the famous Billy Slater incident leading up to the grand final last year in an attempt to stop a try. So that's kind of shoulder-to-shoulder or shoulder-to-body on the side-on. As you will recall, Billy Slater was found not guilty of an offence in that case. And there have been a number of other cases of similar types of tackles. And what we talked about both at the review that we did of the judiciary in the off-season and what I spoke about last Monday was, you know, is that really the type of tackle that we set out to eliminate when we banned the shoulder charge? And, you know, the guys on the panel will recall when they've been on the field themselves that, you know, that the traditional shoulder charge was front on, no attempt to wrap the arms around an oncoming ball carrier, but basically just to drop the shoulder into him and hit him as hard as possible. And that was the original intent of banning the shoulder charge. But shoulder to head contact will always be considered more serious than obviously shoulder to any other part of the body.
So, Graham, we're obviously seen a crackdown in certain instances, and that's basically the Kickow one and the Sims one over the last couple of weeks. So there's a new mandate now. Now, who comes up with the decision to make those changes? How is that applied, and how do we get some consistency throughout? Obviously, there's a lot of different people involved. When you've got the match review committee, you've got the referees, you've got the guys sitting up there in the box. We've got all these moving parts. How do we get some consistency through these new mandates that we're seeing come into the game?
Well, look, you know, consistency is a very often used term when it comes to the rules on the field. But not every incident is the same, as we've just discussed. You know, we've seen two very different types of incidents in two consecutive weeks where both could have been, you know, viewed as a particular type of charge, but they're very different types of incidents. So in relation to the first part of your question, how are these things decided?
Yep.
It was reviewed by the competition committee halfway through the season. There was a view from the commission that we were seeing too many incidents where ball players, whether they be you know, halfbacks or kickers, that were being hit after they'd released the ball, either from a kick or a pass, and they wanted that to be treated more firmly. The competition committee reviewed that and made a recommendation back to the commission, and the commission signs off on a policy statement. That policy statement gets distributed to all the clubs, gets distributed to the referees, gets distributed to the media, so that everyone knows what the new expectation is. It also advise the judiciary panel that they should not be bound by precedent. So one of the objectives of the judiciary panel and the match review committee is to grade incidents in a similar manner to previous incidents that have similar attributes. And so the instruction that went to the judiciary was to ignore precedents and set a new bar, a new level of what's acceptable. And that's how it comes about. But then you do rely, the last part of your question, you rely very heavily on people to interpret that and to interpret it as consistently as possible.
Hey, Graham, it's Wendell Saylor, mate. I just want to take focus away from that a bit. Belinda Sharp, wonderful appointment. wonderful appointment. And also Casey Badger, over the years, you know, we've seen the females, you know, in and around the game. But just the way that she carried herself, obviously the way that she ref that game, I think it was well done to all involved. So Casey Badger shouldn't be too far away, you'd think?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, obviously, she has to wait for an opportunity. And I know that she and Belinda were both at kind of similar stages of development. And so I'm sure it's not going to be long before we see Casey getting her opportunity as well. But you're right about Belinda. I mean, it was a big step to appoint, you know, the first female on-field referee in the 110-year history of the game. It's something that will remain part of the history of the game forevermore. And I thought she handled herself magnificently, both leading up to the game and on the field and following the game. I mean, the media appearances that she did, the way she responded to media inquiries, you know, I think brought nothing but credit to the game and herself.
Yeah, she was. It was a good news refereeing story, which is terrific in the season. And Graham, you have been upfront and honest about performances of referees throughout the season. You talked about depth, and you can't just go dropping people because you may not have the people who are better to come up and blow the whistle in the NRL. When you say those sorts of things, how have they responded? Is it like when Madge McGuire has a crack at the Tigers, and then they come out and play better the next week? Is there a response to those kinds of calls?
Well, Tony, hard to gauge that. I mean, obviously every week the referees are going out there trying not to make errors. So, you know, we had a couple of weeks back-to-back that were pretty ordinary, and I think everyone accepted that, including the referees. So my comments were just an acknowledgement of that publicly. I said at the start of the year that we would put our hand up when errors were made and we wouldn't try and defend them. There are times where I have tried to defend them based on the circumstances where we think they're defensible. The referees know that they're in a very difficult position. They are trying their best, and they will make errors. I mean, they make errors every time they go onto the field. They don't get through 80 minutes of football without having in some way or other, hopefully to a very minor degree, made some kind of error. But we saw a couple of weeks where those errors were pretty significant, and they had potentially impacts on the outcome of games, and that's what everyone's trying to avoid.
All right, Graham Annesley, as ever, nice to talk to you. Thanks for giving up your time again to have a chat.
Thanks, Graham.
No problems. Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
There he is. The head of football for the NRL, Graham Annesley. Plenty to come. Stirler has walked into his studio.
Oh, don't say that. Well, Wendell will just drop his mic and
Wendell's
walk
not
out.
Going anyway. He's
no,
just,
no, I'm happy.
He's there all the way through.
Do you want me to give that last week? Strode in purposefully.
Yeah. I said strode purposefully into
purposefully.
The building. Yeah, yeah.
Did he do the same today?
Well, I haven't back to him, so I'm not sure. You tell me. How would you describe his entrance? It was magnificent anyway. As I looked to the left, I said the Peter Stirling stand. One day I'll have a stand named after me. Not sure where it will be. It's got Triple
NRL. Oh, at some bar somewhere in around the eastern suburbs.
Time to head north of the border once more to Ben Dobbin. Dobbo, g'day, buddy.
Yeah, how are we, guys?
Very, very well, thank you. Now, I know, of course, you're calling the Titans and the Broncos game a bit later on, but in terms of the Titans, what is the latest? We've been having a bit of a chat once more. Wendell Saylor has said that Kevvy Walters should say no to the Titans, but where are we? How close are we to a decision there?
Hey, look, there's so many rumours swirling around, and I tend to agree with Wendell. You know, when this job came up, it was just the laydown that we all thought Kevin Walters was going to be the next coach. But as time's gone on, as this process has taken place, it seems to me that the same problems which have caused the Titans so much angst and grief over the course since they really sacked John Cartwright are still going on. Kevin Walters, as of yesterday, has not had any contact whatsoever with the Gold Coast Titans. Now, if you are to believe that he's a front runner, which everybody has said, you would have felt that he would have been in contact. I said to Kevvy, well, then has he spoken to your manager? And he said no. So no one has actually spoken to them. Now, there's some people who are very close to Kevin Walters who Mal Meninga has rung and asked about Kevin Walters as a coach. But you would believe that if he was the bloke who was favourite for the job, he would have had a phone call from someone at the club. Now, I spoke to the chairman, Dennis Watt. He said, well, he needs to put his hand up and apply. I'm of the belief if you're good enough, you know, Wayne Bennett wouldn't go for a job interview for a job. I don't think Trent Robinson would. I certainly know Craig Bellamy wouldn't.
But they got runs on the board, Dobbo.
Yeah.
You know, but Kevvy's got an origin
has
level.
Has Kevvy got it, though? Yeah. Has Kevvy got runs on the board? I mean, he's coached origin. I mean, does that, like, I'm not being, I agree with what you're saying, but has that given him enough equity to, in his coaching ability? He's a winner that he doesn't need to have to go and make another presentation to prove to the Titans that he's the right man for the job. If they want him, well, then they can get him.
Well, I still, you think, you know, you're talking about some pretty high-powered brokers there. You know, Rebecca Frizzell, they'll want to see the template to what Kevvy's going to do at a club because, you know, they've only got probably, you know, a couple of years has a chance to make it work there at the Titans. So whoever coaches that team, the Titans, has to do the job or else the Titans are gone.
It would also, Dobbo, seem a little unethical if they've put out, you know, an application and put out a tender process and had all these people sort of put in their CVs and then on the side they go to a guy that hasn't put in his CV and hasn't applied and then say that, oh, you know, you're a chance as well. So I would imagine what they're doing is they're going through the process, they'll get through the applications, then on the back of that, if they feel that there's no one there appropriate, when that process is done, they close the door on that and then they approach Kevvy and say, look, we haven't found anyone through that process.
Here, I don't think they've done that good. Good.
Well, they're going through that process, aren't they?
Yeah, but I don't think they've had an interview with anybody. And I don't think that they've spoken. I know that they've obviously spoken to Holbrook. They've spoken to him. Mal Meninga's spoken to him. And if he was interested in it. But I don't believe that there's been any interviews or any resumes being put forward whatsoever.
So no one's applied for the role?
No, they are choosing who they want for the role. And then they're going to go after it. So the Walkers, whether you believe it or not, they were told by a member of the Titans that they would be given an opportunity to put their case forward. Now, if that's an interview, and they said they'd like to be considered, I asked a senior person at the Titans, and I tried to get them on record about whether or not they've even had an interview, and all they said to me is, we have not conducted any interviews. Well, have you spoken to any coaches? And then they just pushed it back to Mal Meninga. This is being done in the way Mal Meninga wants it done, and it could well be right. But if then we're hearing that there's going to be an answer this week. So that says to me that if you hadn't spoken to Kevin Walters as of yesterday and they're going to make an announcement this week, he ain't the man who's going to be coaching the Gold Coast Titans. I think that would be safe to say. And I think it's more looking like Holbrook might be the man who's going to come back from the Super League to take on this club.
So from your understanding, Justin Holbrook is the only possible coach that Mal Meninga has spoken to at this stage?
From what I know. Now, there could be other senior coaches. Like, I know that Anthony Griffin's name has been spoken. I know Craig Fitzgibbon's name has been talked about as well. But I do know that he has spoken to Justin Holbrook and just asked him, was he interested in the job? I do know that for a fact, yes.
What did you make of Wayne Bennett? I know you'd mentioned it previously on Triple M, but Wayne Bennett, with his timing by publicly admitting that he did approach the Titans and they knocked him back. I know that you had spoken about it, but it's very clever timing from old Benny, isn't it?
I said to Wayne, I don't know why you needed to put that out there. And he said, oh, well, Peter asked the question, so I answered it. But it's quite ironic. I mean, obviously, it still burns him that he was knocked back. But, I mean, did the Titans make the wrong decision now? Well, I mean, I would have suspected it if they would have been in a lot better position if they did have Wayne Bennett this year, considering the way Souths are going. I know they were lucky last night, but they've still got Sam Burgess to come back in. And you know, they're going to get better for the run as they head towards the finals. Yeah, I don't know.
Different job though, Dobbo. Different job. Titans were a rebuild at the time when, you know, Wayne threw his hat in, and the South Sydney certainly weren't.
Yeah, but they'd be playing better than what they are at the moment. They wouldn't be sitting at last goods, and I think that's safe to say. I think they'd be going better than what they are.
Newcastle almost finished, you know.
Yeah, but they got into a prelim, mate. They also did prelim the year before, so he got them to a prelim the first year. So, hey, I'm not saying he's the best coach by any means, but I think Wayne Bennett would have done a better job than Garth Brennan.
Yeah. Hey, Dobbo, you were talking about the big power brokers and the businessmen, Dennis Watts, obviously, Rebecca Frizzell.
Yep.
There's a person who we know that it'd be good for the job, but he's locked in. There's deals done behind the scenes, and we know what contracts mean these days. A person who could go there and get the job done, you'd think, is Craig Bellamy. I know he's contracted to the Melbourne Storm, but at 100%. Some stage, you know, behind the scenes, maybe, like, after this year, Melbourne are going, well, you never know. Like, just, mate, has there been a call made to Craig Bellamy? I reckon he's the guy that could, you know, could go in there and have 2 or 3 years and do a job there.
Well, he has family on the coast, and he holidays on the coast. It would make sense, and I think Wendell, you're right. It was talked about a year or two ago that his name came up. I mean, there's nothing that he hasn't achieved.
Yes,
you know, the desire to keep on going at Melbourne if they win the premiership, you're dead right. Like Craig Bellamy, and look, the Melbourne Storm, they're a product line now. They've obviously got systems in place that Craig Bellamy's put there. I don't think that, as much as he's the best coach in the game, I don't necessarily know whether or not they lose that much after what he's taught the blokes around him.
Adam O'Brien, he'd like a new challenge. Yeah, for sure.
He'd like a new challenge. So that makes a lot of sense. I mean, a lot will be said tonight as well. I mean, you know, the Titans, I know they've got nothing to play for, and Brisbane have everything to play for, but it's now an audition for all those players, because whoever the coach is, he'll be watching. And Mal Meninga will be watching it, and there's going to be some overhauls of that list.
You smelling an upset? You smelling an upset up there tonight, Dobbo?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Gerds, I honestly don't think so this time.
Yep.
But
They beat them in the first round, didn't they?
Yeah, I said Brisbane would win them 20-plus in the first time. They got ambushed at home in round 13. So, I mean, anything. Brisbane have been turning up. Their forwards have been turning up the last 3 weeks. They've been outstanding. And when they go forward, they look a lot better side than what they have through the middle of the year. Hopefully, no Matt Gillett again with a groin strain. That's a huge out. But these young blokes, the Fifitas, the Pangai Juniors, the Payne Haas, the Matt Lodge, the Carrigan, Pat Carrigan's been unbelievable for them off the bench, Tom Flegler. These guys are doing a great job. You won't have Flegler this week because he's suspended, but they've done a really good job. And you can just see where Anthony Seibold's going. As much as we've all been critical of how the Broncos have played, and they're probably underachieved, he's overhauled that list this year. He's got them playing his style. And, I mean, they'll make the eight. I don't think they'll go deep, but they're going to make the eight. And then in the next couple of years, you hopefully will think you'll see something special from them.
Yeah, they're in Newcastle out, I reckon.
Yeah, all right, Dobbo. Enjoy your call. Thanks so much for having a chat.
Good on you guys. See ya.
There he is, Ben Dobman, right here in the Canterbury Cup. The Warriors have gone in under the post, converted the try, 28 minutes to go in this game. Wentworthville Magpies lead 22 points to 16. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Great to have your company on a Saturday afternoon from Bankwest Stadium, where the Warriors visit the Eels. Should be a great game of footy right now in the Canterbury Cup. Magpies from Wentworth Wheel 22 lead the Warriors 16, 24 minutes remaining in that game. Very shortly, we'll chat with Robbie Farah, 300 gamer as of last night in their victory. And of course, every time we do have one of those wonderful interviews, it's all thanks to Celebrations helping you celebrate. We were just talking to Dobbo about what was happening on the Gold Coast. Kebby Walters has been in other area has been touted as the man who is going to get the job. I'm just putting a hypothetical before you, because Wayne Bennett has been asked about the idea, should Kebby be coaching the Gold Coast and not coach Queensland next year in State of Origin, would he put his hand up? Now, he's expressed a great interest in having another crack at State of Origin. The question I ask you, would it be good? Can you see him moving away from the whole idea of not coaching, not having club coach and Origin coach together, letting him do both? Would you like to see Wayne Bennett back there in the maroon, Wendell Saylor?
Probably at the moment, no. Well, it's a good question because...
You didn't know where it was going, Wendell? Or?
No, but it was a good question because I'm trying to think, because if obviously Kebby does take that Titans job, you're looking at the next Queensland sort of candidate to come through, and probably, you know, Paul Green was the person who was going to get it before, but obviously Greeny's got his own sort of, not problems up at North Queensland, but he's rebuilding again. And then obviously Wayne's coaching England. It's a tough one. I'll probably think about that. I've got no doubt Wayne could do the job if he goes back there, but what, do you keep doing for 1 year until someone else comes through, or, you know, does he let the England job go?
Because he would have to let the England job go for one. Yeah. But
he's off contract at the end of the year.
From a New South Wales perspective, but I think it'd be a fantastic appointment for Queensland Rugby League. And I think that Wayne could potentially do both jobs. I think they lost four games during Origin this year, so they're not going to do any worse next year. And he's showed that he's been able to do the international English job and, you know, his club jobs, and it hasn't, you know, affected results too much. And I think it'd be brilliant for the concept. I mean, you know, Bennett versus Fittler, young emerging Queensland side. It's all about the theatre and the story.
Yep.
How good would that make the series next year?
It'd be good. It would give the journalists so much to talk about, and there was great content this year with Kevy and the Coach Whisperer anyway, but I think he definitely can do both, and with the staff that he has.
Don't point at me.
Sorry, moving my pen. Very expressive talk. But with Jason Demetrio there as well at South, he's got the staff support there and the support that he can step away for a little bit. But I would hope that he wouldn't then... With Kevy getting the likes of Billy and Jonathan Thurston in and helping out, and apparently Kevy basically gave Thurston free rein and said, you know, do the stuff that you want to do. I would like to see someone like him still be able to do that, and Wayne not come in and say, no, I'm doing things my way. JT, you can't do this, and Billy, you can't do that. If he's still happy to have them in and around, then I'd be happy to see Wayne.
Conditional.
Absolutely.
Emma, that's the way that Wayne coaches. Wayne does that. Like, Wayne gets those players in. I know when he was at the Dragons too, he'd made sure that Ben Hornby, you know, or Dean Young, his thoughts and, in that coaching. That's the way that Wayne coaches. And he's very good at getting, Lottie Dekiris said it best. He said, tactically, he's not the best tactical coach, but he's a good man manager and gets the right people around. So it's like Jason Wendell, Mincher. Yeah.
Wendell, on Wednesday night of last week, I did a function on the Gold Coast with Billy Slater.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was just chatting to him, and he was talking about coaching, and he talked about Craig Bellamy, the fact that he had never, in all his time there, ever coached a method of scoring a try. It was never about, you know, this is how you go
process,
about it. This is a move. Nothing. Yep. Not once has he done that. Somebody else may do that, but his is all about putting in place a system whereby you're going to get the best opportunity to win a game of football. None of that was about the tactical, how to get across that trial line at all.
Well,
and it's the same thing in bringing other people. Yes. You know what your strengths are. Mal Meninga was, you know, similar at halftime. He may not have said anything. Cam Smith may have said everything in that, you know, in that meeting. Or different styles. I guess.
But even that in and around that Origin, when they went on the 8-year run, if you can remember that one, Gerds, 8 years Queensland straight.
Seems like a long time ago.
I was waiting.
It's in black and white, wasn't it?
But, you've got guys like Dennis Hanlon in there, and, you know, I know it's a bit different, but Cole Barron, just to take that pressure off players, and I think those players outside that would, you know, have conversations with Dennis Hanlon and stuff from Sony and that. So it's about who you bring in and around that fold, and it's about having a winning culture. So, it's funny that we talked about Craig Bellamy before going to the Titans. Some someone just messaged me and said that he's bought an apartment on the Gold Coast and his daughter lives there. So
yeah, but David Chair Evans bought an apartment up there as well.
Robbie Farah joins us next on Saturday Triple M NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.